Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for August 24th, 2007. This week, we're going to reveal the hidden secrets of fingerprints and tell you why diet foods could actually lead to weight gain in kids. But first, can humans receive blood transfusions from apes? Suzanne Bard investigates.
Apes and humans have similar DNA, so listener Alexandra Roman of Gainesville, Florida, asked whether humans could use ape blood in a transfusion. We turn to physiologist John Stalloni of Texas A&M. He says the proteins that line ape and human blood cells are too different.
The body would view it as any toxin or poison that was administered to the body or that infected the body, so it would trigger reactions, immune reactions, that would be quite serious and probably, if it were enough blood, it would be lethal.
He says this is the same thing that happens when people get human blood of the wrong type, only this would be more dangerous.
Thanks, Suzanne. Next, Justin Warner's here to tell us why there's more to a fingerprint than meets the eye.
When it comes to fingerprints, looks aren't everything. What's inside them matters too. This according to physical chemist Sergei Kazarian of Imperial College London. His team has developed a way to analyze chemical deposits in fingerprints. These might include skin secretions that can indicate a person's sex or residues of substances he or she recently handled.
So combining physical and chemical information allows to maximize information about fingerprints and about particular individual. It could be, for example, particular suspect.
That's useful because, contrary to popular belief, fingerprinting isn't 100% accurate, and in many cases, only partial or illegible prints are available. Kazarian says the technique could also reveal the age of the prints themselves, and therefore the time of a crime.
Thanks, Justin. We've long been concerned with conserving water. University of Washington Earth scientist David Montgomery says we should be just as concerned with conserving soil. In a report in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, he concludes that conventional agriculture is removing topsoil 10 to 100 times faster than it can be replenished. Montgomery calls for new methods to save the nation's soil, including no-till agriculture that turns over far less soil than plowing. In other agricultural news, a new paper in the Journal of Consumer Research examined the effects of community-supported agriculture. That's when community groups purchase shares of produce directly from farmers. The paper describes a variety of benefits, including a bond between farmers and their customers, and the encouragement of conservative, sustainable farming methods. Next, Suzanne's going to tell us about a potential downside of popular diet foods.
A new study suggests that diet foods could actually cause children to overeat and gain weight. A team of researchers at the University of Alberta found that when they fed juvenile rats low-calorie foods that taste just like higher-calorie versions, the rats began to overeat their normal diet. Sociologist David Pierce explains.
In the young juvenile rat, their bodily system is, in some sense, fooled by the taste cue, so they ate more at their regular meal.
Pierce says that rats and humans have a similar response to taste conditioning, so children might also be prone to overeat if they're exposed to diet foods.
All of us have diet foods and drinks in our fridge, and children are getting the taste of these foods and the low-calorie aspects of them paired, so that it's possible that this effect occurs quite inadvertently. Well, what should we feed our kids? At this time, it just seems sensible to not give out diet food to children and to give them healthy, nutritious meals and keep them away from the diet foods while they're young.
Thanks, Suzanne and Dr. Pierce. Justin Hubler of Oklahoma City emailed us to ask what causes the jet streams and why they're so narrow. We asked University of Utah meteorologist Thomas Reichler. He explains that in both the northern and southern hemispheres, warm air from the tropics rises until it can't get any higher, and then diverges toward the poles. There, the surface of the Earth spins more slowly.
So as the air moves towards the poles, it tries to retain its angular momentum and therefore speeds up.
As for why they're narrow, Reichler says that's sort of a misconception. He says the jet streams depicted on most diagrams and satellite maps are oversimplified, and that the wind speeds actually peter out very gradually as you move away from the stream's center. If you have a science question, call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use it on the air, you'll win a Science Update mug. Well, that's all for this week. Next week, we'll tell you about some giant insects that once inhabited the Earth. Also, if you think computers have no sense of humor, you may be surprised. If you like our show, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition, which brings you a fast-paced, water-cooler-ready story about science every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it at our website or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.